As American culture continues to descend and depart from the Judeo-Christian values that spawned this once great nation, intolerance for traditional moral values and what used to be called common sense is sharply on the rise. Now, homeschooling our kids seems to be an ideal solution to passing on the values and the traditions of our Christian heritage. But is homeschooling adequately preparing our kids to flourish in a society hostile and intolerant of believers? How can we better prepare our kids to win the world for Jesus Christ while defending the validity of Scripture as our guide for life? We'll be talking about that. It is a tall order. That's today on Licensed to Parent. Well, hello and welcome to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy. Shepherd's Hill is a year-long residential therapeutic program helping teens in crisis and their families. Our goal here on Licensed to Parent is to export what we learn day in and day out inside the gates of Shepherd's Hill to help equip you to be the type of parent God wants you to be, the type of parent who can raise godly children with a biblical worldview. Our host on Licensed to Parent is Trace Embry. I'm Rich Rossell, and Trace, it seems that the only politically correct and socially accepted bigotry these days is bigotry toward Christians. Yeah. I guess more particularly that bigotry seems to run even deeper against those of us who are fortunate enough or, well, serious enough about our faith to actually homeschool our kids, and that includes the two of us, and to do our best to, for lack of a better term, protect them from public school indoctrination.
Yeah, I think you're right, Rich. I'm seeing some frightening things coming down the pike. You know, as our citizenry becomes more and more secular, they tend to vote more and more secular-minded people into government.
Well, of course.
Yeah, our public schools are run by the government, and government dictates what our kids are learning and not learning in our schools. So, you know, right now, kids aren't learning much about a defense for or legitimacy of people of faith, particularly people of the Christian faith. And this might be a reason, I can't make an absolute claim, but might be a reason that kids aren't being taught history so much anymore, because history reveals a predominantly Christian America, if it's, you know, honest history, particularly back when our government was being formed.
Well, absolutely. Today's guest, by the way, knows the challenges that we're talking about with the public schools. He knows them all too well, which is why he and his wife became pioneers in the home education movement. Today's guest is Rick Boyer. Rick and his wife, Marilyn, began teaching the eldest of their 14 children at home in 1980, and they are still actively homeschooling their three youngest children today. They have also, in the midst of all of that schooling, authored several books on homeschooling and Christian parenthood. They've spoken at conferences around the world, and you can find their many resources for parents through their ministry, The Learning Parent, online at CharacterConcepts.com. Now, today we don't get the complete parenting set of Rick and Marilyn. We just have Rick with us, but we're told he can stand on his own.
Rick, welcome to the Licensed to Parent broadcast.
Thank you. Good to be with you guys.
Can you, in fact, stand on your own?
We'll try.
Okay.
Rick, tell us about Character Concepts and the Boyer family mission.
Character Concepts is an outgrowth of our ministry to our own children. Neither my wife nor myself was raised in a Christian home, and so we had to kind of learn Christian parenting by the seat of our pants. Mm-hmm. And by no means do we think we've got all the jots and tittles down pat, but sure, we've learned some lessons in 41 years of training 14 kids,
wow,
trying to discover and do it the Bible way. So Character Concepts grew out of all that, the lessons that we learned in trying to train up our children in a biblical fashion. We have taken and encapsulated in books and recordings and workbooks and flashcards and all kinds of other tools, and then we age-graded those. They're not sequential, but they're age-appropriate, and so we've got packages from preschool through high school, practical helps to apply the principles of Scripture in your child's life as they grow up.
That sounds awesome. Now, you have 14 children. These are all biological children?
Yep, got them all one at a time, the old-fashioned way.
I was going to say, I'm curious about this. You know, we talk about Shepherd's Hill Academy being the proving ground here where we get to see all this stuff. You've got your own proving ground of raising kids. I'm sure you would agree that everyone has character. Now, the question is it good character or bad character? And you've probably seen all sizes and shapes of that coming through your family as your kids have grown up. Give us some framework here, though. What does good character actually look like?
Mm-hmm. Well, good character looks like Jesus Christ. And the Scripture tells us a lot about him, and he tells us a lot about himself. And a lot of people miss the fact that what Christianity is all about and what Christian parenting is all about is being conformed by God's Holy Spirit through God's Word to the character of Christ.
Amen.
And he gives us lists of qualities in the Scripture which we often don't recognize as being character qualities, but that's exactly what they are. You look at the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, blessed are the merciful, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Those are all character qualities. Jesus Christ has them in perfection, and as we grow more in him, we grow those character qualities in our lives. Then you turn around, take a look at the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all those things. Those are all character qualities. They are characteristics that God wants in our lives. And regardless of how much doctrine you may know and how many verses you may have memorized, it all amounts to nothing if it doesn't have the effect of producing Christ-likeness in you.
Sure.
And so we've got the challenge as Christian parents starting out, you know, with a new spirit inside an old flesh of being slowly conformed to the character of Christ ourselves and then working to produce that in our children also. And to me, that's what Christian parenting is all about.
Sure. Yeah. So what's the best way for a parent to instill good character in their kids?
Wow. You talk about a short question with a long answer. I would say two categories of about a million things each. And one, of course, is a godly example.
Sure.
That's
modeling.
The hardest thing about being a Christian parent, is being a Christian as you parent, mm-hmm. because your children will learn so much more from what you do than from what you say.
That's true.
And the other thing is building Scripture into their worldview. And one of the ways we have found most successful of doing that is by having them memorize Scripture in long passages, lots and lots of it. And then, of course, you know, in our conversations with them, in family devotions, and everything that we try to build into our life curriculum, always referring back to Scripture as our guidebook.
Absolutely. Well, Rick, as a kid, I never knew why knowing history was so important. What can you tell parents about the importance of their kids understanding history and why and how not knowing history is not only cheating our kids, but contributing to the declension of our nation as well?
That is a great question because it is at the core of our public policy debates right now.
Mm-hmm.
These guys don't know history. They don't know their own Constitution, even though most of them in Congress are lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
They do not understand that America was intended to be a Christian country, mm-hmm. although never was it intended that anybody was required to be a Christian, attend church, or do any of the other earmarks, if you will, of Christian living.
Yeah.
Christianity is not something you require. It's something people have to be born into. But as far as having a set of laws based on Christian traditions that have been shown to work over thousands of years, that's what our founders had in mind.
Sure.
And as you know, having had David Barton speak to your kids out there, presumably multiple times, the history that we're getting in school is very, very, very sketchy, and in our day, very twisted.
Revised. They call it revisionist history is what they call it.
Exactly, and they are. They're revising the whole history of America. But all you got to do is go back and read the writings of the founders.
Sure.
Don't read what modern people, modern revisionists, say about them. Go back and read what they said.
Right.
And the vast, vast, vast majority of them were either godly Christians or at least God-fearing non-Christians like Jefferson and Franklin.
Right. And, you know, back in the day, I was told you couldn't even hold public office unless you were a member of a church in good standing.
Yeah. In the very beginning, that's the way it was by most of the state constitutions. If you read the first constitutions of each of the states, that would be the former English colonies once we declared independence, and those guys had to write state constitutions. And if you read most of those state constitutions, they will say that you must make some kind of an affirmation that you believe this and that according to Scripture, or you're not even eligible for public office.
Yeah.
But the First Amendment to the Constitution is to protect the church from the government, not vice versa.
Exactly.
In fact, as you've heard David Barton say, Thomas Jefferson, who is credited with the first use of that phrase, separation of church and state, or wall of separation, himself attended church nearly every Sunday in the Capitol building when he was President of the United States.
And both he
and when he was asked, why would he get on his horse and ride through any kind of weather to go to church so faithfully, he replied, because the Christian faith is the most worthy one ever given to man, and as the chief magistrate of the nation, it is my duty to give it my support. Now, that's the Boyer paraphrase,
yeah,
but that's exactly his intent.
And that's what the arguably the least religious founding father. I mean, he and Franklin both knew Scripture. I mean, that says something, but anyway.
Well, they knew it far better than we do.
Sure.
If you read people's reports of the Constitutional Convention, John Adams, for instance, you'll find that when Ben Franklin stood up during the convention and he proposed that they open each session each day with prayer from a regular ordained minister, that in that three paragraph little speech, he referenced Scripture, alluded to Scripture 14 different times. These people were saturated with Scripture.
Right.
Even the people who, as far as we know, were not genuinely born again. It saturated the culture, which is the fruit of the Great Awakening, which took place just before the American War of Independence.
Well, let's not forget that the Bible was itself an instructional book used within schools for years and years and years.
New England Primer.
Indeed.
And is still used now in other cultures, but not our own.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Well, John Adams himself said a democracy will not work with anything other than a religious people. And by religious people, he meant Christian people, okay?
That's right.
And I think that today we're proving him right, because our democracy is not working by virtue of the fact that we're no longer a, for lack of a better term, religious people.
Right.
Homeschool kids are often receiving knowledge about history, life, and living that's very different from public school kids. And some would say that, you know, we're setting our kids up for failure in the real world because their presuppositions and worldview, no matter how true they may be, will be so different from those kids in the public school that homeschool and public school kids will barely be able to identify and communicate with one another. How do you take that?
Well, I've been in the homeschooling movement for 35 years, and that is just ridiculous. I've met thousands upon thousands of homeschooling families and homeschooling kids, and a typical homeschool graduate or even a child, a typical one will stand up and shake your hand, look you in the eye, and talk to you like an adult.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest difference between them and the public school kids. But, you know, you used a key word there when you said what the homeschool kids are getting is so different. That's the key to our success, is that we are different. And you're not hearing the old question about socialization quite as much anymore, because you've got homeschool kids that turn out to be Tim Tebow's, and they can be professional football players and professional announcers on TV, and they don't seem to be too afraid of meeting people. So you don't hear it as much anymore, but you still hear it some. And the other side of that question is, aren't you afraid that your kids won't fit in?
Right.
Well, why, my reply to that is no, we're scared that they might fit in, and that's why we homeschool. If you want your kids to be followers, teach them to fit in with the crowd.
Yeah.
If you want them to be leaders, teach them not to. That's the difference. Followers fit in. Leaders stand out.
Yeah.
If you want outstanding kids, you're going to have to do something different than what everybody else does. Simple as that.
Sure.
I got to ask, though, Rick, to pull it back to the question that Trace originally asked. There is, as part of that question, the issue of fitting in and socialization and whatnot. But we're also taking it back to worldview and the fact that we've got homeschooling kids who are raised with a Christian worldview. And not, I mean, let me be clear, not all homeschooling kids are raised with a Christian worldview, but we're talking to Christian parents here. You're raised with a biblical worldview as opposed to those raised in a non-Christian environment, or more specifically in the public school environment, their worldview is very different. And if you take, for example, a Republican and a Democrat with a Republican worldview and a Democrat worldview and put them together, they can't agree on much. Their whole frame of reference is different.
Different presuppositions. That's what I'm, going at. And these our Christian kids may have to be employed by the local power company or a local government, maybe a police department or whatever. And they're going to be coming from different perspectives, with different presuppositions, different historical backgrounds, knowledge of what they know about history. It's going to be tough for them to communicate. I'm not saying we retreat from that, but my question is, how do we best interact with the world that we live in? Because we are to be in the world, not of the world. How do we do that and not get sucked in and still hold our own with our presuppositions?
Yeah, how to engage the world without succumbing to the world?
Well, we've got to be proactive. We've got to teach our children as they grow up to have a biblical worldview, which first of all includes a belief in absolute right and wrong.
Yes.
It is right or it is wrong just because God said so, and he has the right to say so. We dedicate ourselves to that. And then we understand, when we teach our kids to understand, prepare them to understand, that the rest of the world doesn't think like we do. So we're going to have to be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within us.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes through teaching our kids apologetics as well as worldview and a true view of history and all that. But the main thing is to ground them in the scriptures, help them to understand that God is God, nobody else is. He has the right to say what's right and wrong.
Yeah.
I must obey him regardless of the pressures around me, and then teach them what the Bible says. And if we will do that, then they'll know what to think, and they won't be like I was in junior high and high school thinking, I wonder what's the right way to think about this. I wonder what everybody thinks. What's the consensus? We want young people who will be consensus builders, not consensus acceptors.
Yeah, but that presupposes that they know what Scripture actually says, which brings me to my next point. The Bible is one of those presuppositions, the Bible being the authoritative Word of God, is one of those presuppositions that we go into life having, whereas the secular world does not. More and more kids with the Internet and all are sharing their thoughts about the tough passages of Scripture on social media, but they're also aggressively visiting websites like xchristian.com and others that really do a lot of damage to their faith. What counsel do you have for a parent in this area?
My counsel is stay close to your kids. Stay close to them in your heart. If you sense them drifting away, then talk about it as mom and dad. Maybe even counsel with some of your other siblings if they're mature enough to be trusted with that. And above all, get on your knees,
mm-hmm.
because ultimately it's a spiritual warfare.
No doubt.
Satan wants our children.
Yep, absolutely.
We need to understand that. And whereas, you know, we were so careful, my wife and I, protect our kids from television, and now most of us have the Internet in our home, and many of us need it for business or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and that's bringing in more trash and filth than TV ever could.
That's right.
So we have to, Satan keeps changing his tactics. We have to keep changing as parents, you know, how we respond to these things. But if we stay close to our kids so we know what's coming into their lives, where that input's coming from, then we can deal with it. But everything, as far as protecting our kids from evil, speaking truth into their lives, disciplining them, teaching them their helping them with their future careers, all these things require a close personal relationship, and that's the essence of home education. But that's the essence of discipleship, so we ought to understand that to start with.
Absolutely. We are talking today with Rick Boyer. He is head of the ministry, The Learning Parent. You'll find him and a whole wide variety of resources for parents on the website characterconcepts.com. Back with more conversation with our guest, Rick Boyer, on today's License to Parent right after this.
Remember back in the late 80s and early 90s as the Internet hit the scene? You know, the information superhighway? We had great hopes that this new knowledge economy would make our teens more aware, diversify their tastes, and improve their verbal skills. But the Enlightenment didn't happen. Technology has had the opposite effect. What once promised great hope for the future is now used to indulge in diversions. The Dumbest Generation by Mark Bauerlein, subtitled How the Digital Age Stupefies Young Americans and Jeopardizes Our Future, or Don't Trust Anyone Under 30, presents a portrait of the young American mind at this critical juncture, revealing the true cost of the digital age and our last chance to fix it. The Dumbest Generation by Mark Bauerlein, available in the store at licensedtoparent.org. Proceeds benefit the Shepherd's Hill Academy Scholarship Fund.
This is Ken Ham, President and CEO of Answers in Genesis and the Creation Museum, and I just want to say how much I appreciate License to Parent broadcast. I am so thrilled to know that there are those out there who are standing on the authority of God's Word in this age of compromise, but teaching parents how to build their thinking on the Word of God and to pass on that spiritual legacy to the next generation. So often we see that spiritual legacy being lost, and we need more people listening to broadcasts like License to Parent so that they will know how to pass on that spiritual legacy to the next generation.
With the generous gifts from people just like you, we're able to provide parents with practical insights to navigate the challenges families face in today's culture, as well as helping troubled teens in our year-long residential program. To learn more and to donate, visit licensedtoparent.org.
Welcome back to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy. With our host, Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rosel, and our special guest today is Rick Boyer. And you can find Rick and the various resources that his ministry, The Learning Parent, offers online at characterconcepts.com.
Rick, before the break, we were talking about all the different ways through mass media, the internet and whatnot, that our kids are getting anti-Christian information. Seeing some horrendous things coming across the internet. Jesus changed the rules. His daddy already laid down earlier. Therefore, either the Old Testament or the New Testament is flawed. How do you help a parent out of a conundrum like that, or a parent conundrum? Because kids are hearing this stuff, and they're coming to Shepherd's Hill Academy because most of them come from Christian homes, and they've already got these difficult questions in their bag of tricks when they come in. Now, we give them some pretty good answers for these things, but I don't think the average parent realizes that these are even things that are issues. But I'm telling you, with the internet, they are issues.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to hide anything with the internet being what it is.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about the instructions God gave to Israel in the Old Testament, you're talking about a special situation. The laws of the Old Testament break down into three different types, and some of them are ceremonial, some of them are strictly for the nation of Israel, some are the basis of both Israel's original law and all law, which is the Ten Commandments, for instance, and we have to be theologically astute enough to break all those down. God brings these challenges into our lives for a reason.
Sure.
Somebody said, boys are God's way of telling you that your house is too neat. Well, the problems that we have with our children and the things that challenge them that we have to protect them from are God's way of calling our attention. Anytime you run into a situation, your child says, wants to know about this or that, or he says something that's contrary to what you believe the Bible teaches, you don't want to take that as a threat. You want to take that as a responsibility. God is telling me, hey, I need to educate myself about this. And most Christians are not well educated theologically.
Right.
So it takes work. Most of us don't get it in our churches, and we're going to have to put a little more effort into our Christian life than just going to church two or three times a week if we're going to be able to deal with these questions.
Absolutely. Rick, Joseph Fair of WorldNet Daily was reported as saying that he'd rather have his kid drop out of school than attend a public school. How do you respond to those who claim that their kids see public school as a ministry and therefore want their kids plugged into that system?
I would say if you want your child to be a missionary, send him to South America where he's free to say what he wants to say and carry his Bible around.
Good answer.
I believe in sending adults to public school as teachers and
right.
nurses and counselors and whatever to be missionaries. I do not believe in sending kids to go to listen to all the brainwashing. I don't think that is either necessary to reach out to those kids or advisable. As far as reaching the people in the public schools with the gospel, you don't have to go and sit under all that to do that. Those
right.
people don't live in the public school 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
You can reach them in their home, the adults in their workplaces, the kids through sports and activities and neighborhood relationships. There's a million ways to reach people without subjecting your child to be brainwashed 7 hours a day.
We're seeing more and more homeschool kids getting the same tainted indoctrinations and acquiring the same carnal appetites as their public school counterparts. What's happening here, and how can it be corrected?
Okay, what's happening here, in a word, is we are failing to live and to teach our children a servant's heart.
Mm.
What you're talking about is the indoctrination that comes through our pleasures, through our entertainment.
Yeah.
We spend so much time in front of the TV and on the internet pleasing ourselves that we're gobbling up false doctrine, worldly attitudes, fleshly values, and that's wrong. And the antidote is a servant's heart. If we believe we're training up our kids to not only be disciples of Jesus Christ, but world-changing leaders, which is what every Christian kid should be taught, then we don't have time to sit and be entertained like a king on his throne watching his court jester dance around and play his lute or whatever. What we need to be doing is teaching our kids. We're training you for the Olympics, kid. We are training you to stand out. We're training you to be something special in the hands of God.
Mm-hmm.
That means, number one, you've got to have a servant's heart, because Jesus said, the greatest among you will be your servant.
Right.
And that's what we've got to do. Teach our kids. You don't have time to sit in front of the TV 3 hours a night. Here, read this book. Here, come along with me and let's go work in this political campaign. Here, come along with me. Let's visit Mrs. Jones next door. She's a widow lady. Here, come with me. Let's go pass out gospel tracts.
Yeah.
But we parents have got to be living a responsible life first.
Yeah.
If we get ourselves involved in a life of service to God, all we've got to do is take our kids by the hand, and we'll keep them so busy with good things that they don't have time for all the nonsense that's being flooded into our homes like through a sewer pipe.
That's exactly right.
Rick, I hate to say it, we are beyond out of time, but we so appreciate your being on here. Rick Boyer and his wife Marilyn began their own homeschooling adventure back in 1980 when they started teaching the eldest of their 14 children. They're still doing it with their three youngest. Rick and Marilyn, meanwhile, have authored a number of books on homeschooling and Christian parenthood. You can find those through their ministry, The Learning Parent, online at characterconcepts.com. Again, that's characterconcepts.com. Rick, thank you so much for being a part of Licensed to Parent
today.
Thank you,
sir.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
God bless you.
And this is Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy. For over 20 years, Shepherd's Hill has been ministering to teens in crisis through its year-long residential therapeutic program. To find out more about Shepherd's Hill Academy and our ministry through Licensed to Parent to parents in need, please visit us at licensedtoparent.org. And while you're there, you can find archives of past programs, and you can check out our blog, Insight for Today's Culture. Again, the web address is licensedtoparent.org. For Trey Simbri, I'm Rich Rosl, inviting you to join us again next time to once again renew your license to parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.